Lesson number 6, All Things New. This subject could be titled The Results of the Kingdom. The Renewal, the Restoration. God created a heaven and earth, He created a perfect pair, and immediately Satan precipitated the whole into rebellion. For 6,000 years, God's contingency plan for restoring mankind, for recalling them to worship, for bringing them back to His home, for remarrying them as His bride, has been in operation. In every gospel sermon, God has been wooing His bride through the voice of the friend of the bridegroom in the pulpit. Now the time is coming, as we are studying this lesson, when all things will be made new. I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Part number 1. Assured inheritance, or the results that we shall inherit. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens and the earth, that formed the earth and made it. He made it not in vain. We think of the ecological destruction of this planet. Trees are being decimated. Animals are being reduced to extinction. The population of the world is increasing so fast that food production is growing more and more difficult. And we say to ourselves, what does the future hold? Is this planet to be made a Sahara in which men move in skeletal starvation from one oasis to another, looking for food, grubbing out a meager existence? No. The Lord says, I didn't create the planet for that. I didn't create it in vain. I formed it to be inhabited. And in the hereafter, God's original purpose will be achieved. His grand design will be consummated. To that end, the psalmist bids us wait. Wait upon the Lord. God's purposes know no haste and no delay. We are to hang on to the promises. We are to wait on the Lord, our minds fixed on Him. Remembering that the meek shall inherit the earth, that the righteous shall inherit the earth, and the wicked shall be cut off. Now, if we want to inherit the earth, we don't fight for ecology, we fight for meekness. If we want to inherit the land, we don't bring about legislation. We seek to achieve righteousness by faith in Christ. Our worldview is not of a restored Garden of Eden here on earth by human effort, but of a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Part number 3. Every true believer in God has been a seeker of a better country. Abraham looked for a better country. If he had wanted to own vast ranches of thousands of acres here on earth, he could have done it. But he didn't. And it's remarkable that in the archaeology of Palestine, there are remnants of no great palaces, no huge buildings, no pyramids, no graves. The archaeologist in Palestine finds treasures of the mind, scrolls, books, the book, messages that transform men, prophecies that pierce the future. The pyramids, dull point, stretching a few yards above the desert surface, reminds us of death and decay, and of the end of all things terrestrial. But the monuments that Israel has left, in the shrine of the book, in the book itself, in the Messiah who was the message of the book made flesh. We see the thrust towards a better country. Abraham looked for a better city. There are no remnants in Palestine of vast cities like Memphis or Babylon. No such relics, because the men who lived, with all their faults and all their sins, looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. They were strangers and pilgrims here on earth. They looked for a better time when the Messiah would come and establish a kingdom beyond compare. That they failed was no fault of their philosophy. That they refused to be ready does not negative the wonder of the revelation that God gave to them. And the New Testament church that keeps up the heritage of the true believers of Old Testament times also look for a better country. For the day of the Lord will come. It's in the future. It will soon come. It's not too far distant. The heavens and the earth, separated now, will be bridged by the Son of Man as the ladder connected earth with heaven. Angels of God, the redeemed, will be able to rise up and down upon it. We look for this better country that is soon to come. Part number 5, God with us. As we pray, Thy kingdom come, God comes into our hearts. In a mystic, spiritual sense, His presence is there. His Spirit is there. His Word is there. His angels are around us. His book, His message, His personal letter is before us. We can read it when we want. We can turn our minds to Him in prayer anytime. God is with us. When Jesus came to men and dwelt in Mary's baby, His name was Emmanuel, God with us. But when we think of this section of this week's lesson, God with us, we're thinking of the time in the future when there will be no barriers between, when we shall see Him as He is, when we will not hear behind us a still small voice, but as we see Him, we shall hear His lovely voice speaking to us. In our minds we can see that nail-pierced hand, but we are looking for the time when that hand will be with us, and when we will, we can clasp it in ours. We look for a time toward which the prophet Ezekiel looked in the closing moments of his book, when there should be a city, when there should be a land, and the name of that city will be Yahweh Shammah, God is there. We are looking for the time toward which John looked, when the tabernacle of God should be with men, and He would be with them. And all things shall be made new. Part number 6 describes the state of the redeemed, the citizens of the kingdom. First of all, their character qualities. They have overcome. They have met the conflicts of life. They have entered into hand-to-hand battles with self. They have wrestled against principalities and powers and evil spirits, not alone, but clad in the armor of God. They have examined their hearts, they have searched their souls, they have seen whether they are in the faith. Day by day they have fed upon the Word. They have made the Scriptures the man of their counselor. And as the Spirit has signaled to their souls, they have responded. By their conscious will, they allow themselves to identify with the divine law, knowing that they are not earning merit, and realizing that they cannot keep it of themselves, but they have willed to. The one who lies wills to lie no longer, implores the strengthening, reinforcing presence of the Spirit. takes no credit in the fact of his truthfulness, but aims to do that. I remember a little while after the baptism of my granddaughter, she came to me and said to me, "Papa, I haven't lied since I was baptized." And this brought a lump into my throat. A little girl, sensitive to her own sinfulness before her baptism, realizing an ideal that she had missed before, accepting the power of the Spirit in her simple, loving way, seeking to speak the truth. And I thought to myself, except he be converted, become as little children, he shall not inherit the kingdom of God. No righteousness by works, no jangling stories of theological philosophies, a realization that she must not lie, that she must not take that which belongs to her sister or her friend. These are things that she does because she has given her little heart to Jesus, because she has been baptized. And so the citizens of that kingdom have allowed the kingdom of God to be in their hearts ever since they caught a glimpse of King Emmanuel. Every time they pray, every day, "Thy kingdom come." They are overcomers. They are overcomers in the blood of the Lamb. He forgives their past sins. Yesterday they fell, they lied, they coveted, they stole, they criticized, they were angry. Thoughts of impurity, the senses of the flesh flooded their minds. And then they prayed, "Lord, bathe my mind, cleanse it, purge it with thy blood, wash it with the washing of water by thy word." And as they prayed, the changes came. A new vision, a new resolve, not with self, but with him. They'd failed before, but a new faith buoyed them up. "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." And these citizens of the kingdom of heaven, marching in the kingdom of grace, will one day break through into the kingdom of glory. And we read about them in that new heavens and that new earth. We see them converted, children, children of their heavenly fathers, like him, seeing him, walking in his way, imitating him. All things are to be made new. The spring of that new life should be now. The changes should begin now. Don't allow the janglings of the cliches of theologians. Don't allow words like perfectionism to come into your mind. Don't worry about that because you don't know what it is. Neither do I. But when the Spirit whispers into your heart, "This is the way, walk in it, start, respond," and you will have nothing to worry about the consummation. It's today, while it is called today, that the kingdom of God must come, that the grace of God must fill, that the gospel must transform. And as our perceptions deepen and widen, follow on to know the Lord. And tomorrow, when the day breaks, we will be thrust into the eternally new world.